Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being here in this place. We pray all week long that God would use this place, this church, as a place of refuge, and not only for the members of this church, but for all who would come, whether it be for one visit or for many, to be able to sense the presence of God here. And I trust that you have. If you've come looking to worship the Lord and receive a blessing, I believe that you have already received that. And just being in this place, it is a blessing. And then, of course, as a church, we are to preach the Word of God. And I trust that you were here this morning. And if you were here this morning, you had that message. We have to know who God is. If we're going to serve Him in gladness, we have to remember who He is. And He's always good. What a great message and song tonight to just remind us that our God is always good. And we want to serve Him. And be thankful that we have the opportunity to serve Him. One of the ways we serve Him is to worship Him and to come to the church and support the work that God has established to accomplish what God has to be accomplished on this earth during this church age. Well, in the Word of God, in the book of Revelations, the very last chapter, very last book of the Bible is the book of Revelations. We started some time ago, probably 2 years ago, studying the Bible as a whole. We went through and we gave one message on each book of the Bible. Starting the book of Genesis, one message on each book of the Bible. That took 66 Sunday evenings. And of course, there were splits in between and different things taking place. But it's taken us a couple of years. Then we got into the book of Revelation. And after we gave the outline, we started breaking it down and realizing that this is a book that has so much in it, and God has a purpose for what He reveals to us. Now, the Bible itself will take us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Everything that we can understand and have need to understand about the past is recorded in the Word of God. The things that we can understand, need to understand about the future are recorded in the Word of God. And in order to fully understand the book of Revelation, you have to understand the rest of the Bible. The Bible interprets Bible. And when you understand the entire Bible, then you can get a better picture of what God is revealing to us in the book of Revelation. Now, three thoughts on this book of Revelation that we want you to remember as we're going through this. First of all, God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. He has a purpose for the book of Revelation. And I think that it's something that we've already seen, how that we can learn biblical principles throughout the whole Bible. Especially as we look at the book of Revelation, we can see why God did certain things leading up to what's going to take place in the future. And God is more interested in the eternal things than the temporal things. And sometimes we look at the temporal things and we think that, wow, I don't know that God's good. That's all we had to base it on. But then when we look at the overall picture and realize that God has to work in a way for eternal purposes, and God uses things, temporal things, for eternal purposes, and He knows what's ahead for us, then we can understand God's always good. God has a purpose for revealing what He's revealed. Good men will differ on some of the interpretations of the book of Revelations. There's a lot of typology, symbolisms in the book of Revelation. It's written exactly and preserved exactly as God wanted it to be written and preserved. It's His Word, but He's presented it in a way that makes it necessary for us to have a good understanding of the entire Bible and who God is in order to have proper interpretation. And so with that, there's some good men differ on some of the interpretations, not on the doctrine. If they're good men, they're not off on the doctrine. Amen. The doctrine we have to be in agreement on, but some of the typologies and symbols and things like that, and I'm not going to argue over there. So you might come to me afterwards and say, well, I heard it this way and that. And as long as it just has to do with the certain symbols or typologies, not going to argue with that. If you think the doctrine has been different, then we need to get into the Bible and get that straightened out. But realize that there's going to be some difference of interpretations as you go through the book of Revelation. And then the last is, this is a practical study. I'm a practical preacher. I want to preach to you that which you can get a hold of it and make an application to your life. And I believe that's why God's given it to us, to live it, to live the Bible. If you're going to live the Word of God, you have to be able to get a hold of it and make it applicable. And so even the book of Revelation, we've been presenting it in a practical way so that we can learn from what God has revealed to us. Now, we won't go back over all of it, but it does reveal, it's broken down three ways and three different points, three main points. That's revealed to us in chapter 1. He says, write the things which thou hast seen. Chapter 1, the things which are. Chapters 2 and 3, that's the church age. That's the age we're living in right now. And then chapter 4 through 22, to the end of the book, it is that the things which shall be hereafter. And we've been studying on those things. The rapture of the church is the next prophecy to be revealed. God's already given us a prophecy, but the next spiritual happening, if you will be the rapture of the church. From that point, we don't know when that's coming, but from that point, then we can narrow it down and say, I know what's going to have to take place the next 7 years. Because right after the rapture of the church, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And we've been in the tribulation period. The Bible from chapter 6 to chapter 19 is dealing with the tribulation period. After this, it's the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. We know that. And then after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, this earth will be destroyed. Global warming, it's going to take place. Amen. But not like they think it's going to take place. This earth is going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. And God's going to create a new heaven, a new atmosphere, an atmosphere that is prepared and designed for a glorified body and an eternal life, and a new heaven. A new heaven, a new earth. A new atmosphere, a new earth. But this one, not a reconditioned earth. This earth will be destroyed. And that will do away with time. Once the 1,000-year the millennial reign is over, eternity, then there's no more time. And there's no time in eternity. We don't fully understand how it's all going to work. We just know what God's revealed to us. And by faith, we can see it. Amen. Faith allows you to see things that lost people can't see. Faith allows me to know that there is coming a rapture of the church. Faith allows me to see a tribulation period that we've been studying. Faith allows me to see that 1,000-year millennial reign, and more than anything else, allows me to view a place of eternity in heaven. What a blessing to have faith. Well, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read here chapter 12, verse 13, down to verse 17. We're in the tribulation period, the seven seal judgments. There's only one worthy to open the seal. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. There were seven seal judgments. The last of the seven seal judgments led into the seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgment was presented, the final woe, which will include seven last plagues, which we'll see later on, the plagues of the vials. In chapter 11, we find that the seventh angel sounded, which ushered in this seventh trumpet judgment. It gives us an overall view of what has taken place, and then what's going to take place, an overall view of the millennial reign, and then the end of the time. Chapters 12 and 13 reveal the seven personages. These personages as persons of distinction. Now, not necessarily in any kind of chronological order, but it reveals seven distinctions that we need to understand about what's going to take place during this tribulation period. The first is Israel, the woman. Israel, key. In the tribulation period, it's a key throughout all time. The Old Testament, God's chosen people, and even in this church age, they do not believe that the Messiah has come yet, but yet they're still God's chosen people. This is the church age, is for the Gentiles, and but God is still has His hand of protection upon His chosen people, Israel. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and realize that on this earth today, all eyes are focused on Israel. There's a purpose for that. There's a reason for that. And you're either for or against Israel. That's just what's going to take place during this church age. It's been taking place during this for the church age. But we find that Israel, the woman, is a personage that is very important to understand that she's the woman that he's talking about in chapter 12. And then the red dragon, which is Satan. Satan is a personage that is very important for us to be aware of. He's real. He's not some red creature with a pitchfork and making a cartoon, making funnies out of it. No, he is very real. Satan is a very real character, a very real personage. And then it reveals the man-child, which is Christ or Christianity. That is very real. During this church age, it's all about Christianity, the church. And then the archangel Michael is a fourth personage we studied. This reveals spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is very real, very real. And then the fifth personage is what we're looking at here tonight. And that's what we'll be finding here in chapter 12, verse 13 down to verse 17. So let's read that. And when the dragon, which is Satan, saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, which brought forth the man-child, Christ. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent, 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. This is the fifth personage, this remnant, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jews during this tribulation period that had the testimony of God and were known as Christians. Fifth personage. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the truth of your word that we can look to and read and study and know that it is truth that you have established and revealed to us that will never change. I thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight and for all that have come to be a part of the service. I pray that you would give each one of us the insight into what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 13 down to verse 17 reveals Satan's assault on Israel in the tribulations. During this tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period, and of course, again, we've been studying the tribulation period since chapter 6. And so at this point, he's revealing some things of what's going to take place during this 7-year tribulation period. And basically, Satan is going to unleash an all-out assault on Israel during this tribulation time. There's 5 things that he reveals to us here that are going to take place that we can learn about that's going to happen during this tribulation period. First of all, verse 13, we find here that Satan, that dragon, when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Satan through the Antichrist, and there will be an Antichrist government during the 7-year tribulation period. We can see that pretty much coming about even today. A one world government, a one world currency. There's going to be one world religion, and they're going to dictate just what we believe and how you work out and how you worship in your belief. It's going to be a one world system, and that's something that, again, we see how it can happen by all the technology and everything that's taken place, and how that it could all come to one local government or one local control. Satan, through this Antichrist, launches an all-out attack on Israel. Because Israel will not surrender to a one-world government. Israel will not surrender to a one-world religion. And so we find that this is going to take place during this tribulation period, and she is persecuted. The woman, Israel, is persecuted by that which would be Antichrist, which Satan would be the control of that. And we're going to see that later on as it reveals who the Antichrist is, as far as knowing that it's going to be that of a satanic involvement. So we find that Israel being attacked here, persecuted, a worldwide slaughter of Jews and those who will not deny Christ. During this time, that's what it's saying, that the persecution of the woman which brought forth the man-child. Many believe that this will take place during the second half of the 7-year tribulation period, because it goes down there and it says it's going to take place in a time and a times and a half, which would be 3.5 years, the second half of the tribulation period. Now, some say, well, how could the world agree to persecute Israel and persecute any of those that would follow after Christ? Well, it's not something that is new to history. Satan has always tried to persecute Israel. Satan has always tried to work opposite the will of God. History, as we look back into the land of Persia, when Israel was taken captive and God allowed them to be taken captive, and God used that captivity for a purpose, and then after those 70 years, He allowed Israel to return back to her land, but there was a remnant of the Jews who stayed in Persia. And as they stayed in Persia, they were actually doing quite well until the government decided to persecute all the Jews that lived in Persia. Now, we find this story back in the book of Esther. If you'll look there with me, that's why, or let me just read it to you. You know the story, I'm sure. But in the book of Esther, and this is why we have to understand the entire Bible to have a better picture of what God reveals to us that's going to take place in the tribulation period. In the land of Persia, in Esther chapter 3, we find here the Bible says in verse 13, Haman had worked it out to have the king make a decree that there would come a day when all the Jews of the land would be slaughtered. This is history. This actually is written down and recorded in history. The Bible says, and the letters were sent by the post into all the king's province. This is what they were going to do. They were going to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Even upon the 13th day of the 20th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. It's going to be open hunting on all Jews, and once you killed them, you could take their possessions. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Now, we know that that took place in that time, and the only thing that saved them was God's hand and how God worked in the king's life through Queen Esther, not knowing that she was a Jew herself, and how all that worked. And we don't have time to go back in and study that entire story, but read the book of Esther, and you'll see the hand of God protecting His chosen people Israel, but Satan launched an attack. And they would have killed all the Jews in Persia. In the New Testament, during the apostolic age, in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, after Christ had ascended to heaven, and He has established His church, and He gave orders for the church, and they knew what they were to do, Satan launched an all-out attack on Christianity. And they were going to stamp out Christianity. They were going to stamp out any that would name the name of Christ. And the one that was going to be the lead persecutor in this was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And they said of Saul of Tarsus in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, and Saul was consenting unto his death. It just consented that Stephen would be stoned to death for doing nothing more than preaching the gospel. Consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church. A great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And the devout men carried Stephen to the burial and made great lamentations over him. For as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in every house, and haling men and women, committing them to prison. There's precedence for this taking place. In Jerusalem, the Christians were persecuted, and they were able to go in, and if they named the name of Christ, and they had authority, the approval of the authority to go in and take them out and cast them into prison. And then if we continue on, there's always been this kind of a persecution, but from 1939 to 1945, the Great Holocaust, when it was estimated that some 6 million Jews were murdered. Many packed into box cars and taken to execution camps. In some 6 year span, 6 million. We have that. That's history. Knowing what took place in biblical times, knowing what God has recorded in the Bible, and knowing what has taken place in our own history of America, we look back and we can see how this actually took place. We can see how it will take place during the rapture of the church, during the 7 year tribulation period, because the church will be raptured. Every true born again believer will be gone. You say, well, how is that going to happen? We don't have time to go into it, but I tell you, it's faith that allows us to believe that that's exactly what the Bible says will take place. As everything else that has taken place, we know it's God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Satan, through this Antichrist government, will unleash an all-out assault on Jews, on Israel. Verse 14, go back there with me. Now, this is the seventh, this is the fifth personage. The Bible has just given us information that will actually help us understand what's going to take place during this tribulation period. In verse 14, the Bible records that God provides a place of refuge to save them. And the woman... And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times is 3.5 years. She would be destroyed if it were not for God giving her a place of refuge. God intervenes and rescues them. Exodus in chapter 19. Exodus in chapter 19. This idea of eagle's wings. What's he talking about there? Some say that that could represent the United States of America. I believe God has used the United States of America to further the cause of Christ. As we look back over our heritage and look back over where we started from, it was the hand of God that actually gave us our liberation. It was the hand of God that gave us the victories that we were able to have and have continued to have victories. This nation has been established by God and given the power it has and the strength it has to carry out the work that God has for America to carry out during this church age. And one of the things that this God has used America to do is to befriend Israel. If it was not for the United States of America, do you think that Israel would still be where it's at and alive? If it wasn't for the fear of America, every nation around Israel would have already destroyed, attacked Israel. That's God. This idea of the wings of eagles, if you look here in Exodus chapter 19, again, this is a phrase that we find that God uses as He protects His people. It says in verse 4, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings and brought you unto myself." Whatever it is that God uses, whether it's the Red Sea that He opens up and the Egyptians go into the Red Sea and God causes the Red Sea to come down upon the Egyptians, whether He uses the Red Sea in a drowning, or if He establishes the United States of America, or however He's going to do it at that time, God is going to give Israel a place of refuge. He is going to intervene, and outside of His intervention, they would be destroyed, but God will intervene to save them. Provide a place of refuge for them, a safe place. In verse 15, "And the serpent," Satan, cast out of his mouth water as a flood, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, even though that God has provided safety, and he intervenes, Satan does not give up. There is a flood, an ongoing attack. Now, I like the idea that terminology uses flood. There again, that's why as we study the entire Bible, we can somewhat come up with understanding of what he has given to us and the terminology and the symbols that he's using. Okay, that's where I get to. Some might have a difference of an interpretation on that. But as we look the Bible to interpret it, then we look back to the book of Isaiah and the prophecies of Isaiah in chapter 43. Again, this is how you interpret the book of Revelations. You have to use the entire Bible. You have to have an understanding of the terminology that God uses throughout the Word of God to have a better understanding of what God's revealing to us that's going to take place in the future. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now, what he is saying is, when you go through the trials, and when you go through the persecutions, and when you go through all of the attacks, I'll be there. Satan unleashes an ongoing attack, which the Bible reveals it as a flood, to try to destroy Israel once again. And as he does this, the Bible says, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Just attack after attack, persecution after persecution. And no doubt many here would say, you know, I've been through a time. It just seems like it just didn't stop at just one trial. It was just one trial after the other trial, after another trial, after another attack, after another attack. Amen. And we don't know always just why. We don't know why God allows us to have to go through certain... Some people have to go through more trials than others. But the one thing that he promises, that I'll be with you. Stay focused on me. If you stay focused on God in the midst of your trials, can I tell you, he'll not allow the trial to overwhelm you. He'll not allow that flood to drown you, if you will. No matter how often Satan comes at you and whatever he brings at you to try to drown you with all the persecution and drown us with the attacks, if we stay focused on God, he'll make a way of escape for us. And after we get through it, we'll be stronger because of it. Or we will have accomplished God's purpose for our lives. Well, in this time, what he does... When the woman has been attacked and Satan puts this flood upon her, look what it says in verse 16. And the earth helped the woman. The earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The earth represents that which is natural. The earth represents that which God has already created, established, and controls. And so help from the earth would be that natural catastrophes that God would orchestrate from the earth would distract the persecution. And if it wasn't for these natural catastrophes taking place on the earth, the persecution would overwhelm them. But God would work in such a way, like what God used against the Egyptians in the 10 plagues. The only thing that kept Pharaoh from attacking the Egyptians was the plagues. He had his hands full dealing with what God plagued him with. The water was turned to blood. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, if you don't have fresh water to drink, you're not thinking about attacking somebody. You're thinking about survival. We had better spend our time and efforts in just making sure that we have water so we can survive. The Egyptians, once Moses told him that God was going to plague Egypt and he was going to turn the water to blood, it turned to blood so fast that there was nothing that the Egyptians could do, and what Pharaoh could not spend the time attacking Moses or the Israelites, he was focused on what are we going to do about having water to drink? They go to the wells and they'd bring up the well water and it was blood. It was undrinkable. It was contaminated. The lakes, the streams, it's all turned to blood. The earth. It helped the woman. The frogs. Wake up in the morning and you feel something crawling in your bed. And you jump out and you try to stand and there's frogs all over the floor. Frogs in the bathroom and frogs in the kitchen. And you, I'll tell you what, I think that would distract you a little bit. The lice. Yeah, it's getting about that time again too when everyone gets their coats out. The kids go to school, before you know it, there's little creatures crawling all over your chair. That kind of is distracting. The flies covered the land so thick. They couldn't go out and attack the Jews. They had to figure out, how are we going to get rid of these flies? My wife laughs at me. From time to time, I'll go around the house with a fly swatter. I just kill them flies. It was the disease that killed the livestock. Wow. These are all the earth, the natural catastrophes that can take place that God controls. The man has no control over. The boils that came up on all the Egyptians. I don't know if you've ever had a boil or not. Talk about something painful. Just put them all over your body. I don't think you're worried about the Hebrews. You're worried about the Jews when you got boils all over your body. You want relief. Hailstorms. The size of hail that would kill a person. Locusts. The darkness. And then death of the firstborn. Help from the earth. I don't know all that's going to be, what kind of help they're going to have, but I know when the Antichrist unleashed this attack once again and persecution, a flood of persecution, God is going to use the earth and the earth is going to swallow up the persecution, the flood, to preserve the remnant that God would preserve during this time. And then verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. This Jewish remnant, this was the fifth personage, which keep the commandments of God. These are Jews that now have come to that realization that they crucified the Savior, that Jesus is Lord, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe this is the first mention of the 144,000. The 144,000 Jews, which is revealed in chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, when it talks about the 144. These are not Jehovah's Witness, these are Jews. 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Bible records that. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, for chapter 14, and 144,000 having the Father's name, His Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among them, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. I believe what He's talking about, that remnant, and that will come into play later on as we study here, was the first mention of the 144,000. So this is what the Bible tells us concerning this fifth personage. So preacher, understanding this gives us a little bit more what's going to take place in the tribulation, but how is that to be applied to our lives? Can I tell you that Satan has always looked to devour mankind? God's revealing how powerful Satan is. In the book of Revelation, He's revealing the spiritual battles that are not only taking place during the tribulation time, but are taking place in this church age. Our only defense is the safety of staying under God's protective hand. How we'll deal with things in this life to make sure that we're accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. To make sure that we have the joy of the Lord in serving Him. Serving Him with gladness. We have to make right decisions. In the tribulation, the only way that they could withstand the persecution of Satan was to stay focused on the help of God. God can do it Himself, or He can use natural things. He can just bring things, control the things of this earth. But we have to make the right decisions. In closing, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. I think the practical application of what we've just studied. Matthew chapter 23, and we're done. Jesus speaking to the Jews. And He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. How often does God want to give us the victory? He wants to give us the victory. But we have to make the right choices. The only strength we have against Satan, the only strength we have against these spiritual battles is God. It's a choice that we must make even today. If you make the right choice, you'll not have to be a part of the tribulation period. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon the name Lord to be saved and know that you're saved, listen to me, you're a child of God's and you're a part of His body, and He'll rapture His church up before the tribulation period. And you don't have to worry about it. God reveals it to us so that we'll know it's true, so that we can help others to realize you don't want to be a part of that either. The tribulation could begin. The beginning of the tribulation will take place right after the rapture. The rapture could take place at any moment. Everything, all the prophecies that have been fulfilled leading up to the next spiritual act, biblical act, and that is the rapture of the church. We're there. Are we winning the battles? If you're winning the battles, it's because you're looking to the right source and you're making the right decisions. If you're not, you can start winning the battles tonight. Make the right choices. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. He's revealing to us what's going to take place. He's revealing the battle that's going to happen, take place on this earth. The spiritual warfare that's even taken place, even prior to that tribulation, that's taking place right now in this church age. The solution's been the same ever since the beginning of time. Choose God. Choose His ways. Are you making the right decisions? Heavenly Fathers, we bow before You tonight. We love You. Thank You for the truth of the book of Revelation. You have revealed to us what You want us to have, and You have a purpose for everything You revealed. And Lord, as we look into this time, we learn much. And I pray even tonight we would learn to put our faith and trust in You. Look to You to make the right decisions. I pray, God, that You'd work now in our midst. I pray that You would speak to each one as we have need to be spoken to, and lead each one to make the decisions that they need to make tonight.